We lay at the doorsteps of your mind and your hearts this morning a most popular passage from the Bible. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, the first book of that, and the 13th chapter reading from verses 1 through 13. As it is so familiar, I would invite you this morning to listen to this passage as if you were hearing it for the very first time. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we shall see face to face. Now I know only in part. Then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us and the word of God within us, thanks be to God.
Skip, that was just a beautiful reading of Scripture. Thank you so much for that. You know, it's great. One of the things that you don't realize about Plymouth is we have all of these wonderful retired clergy, like Skip, lurking among you, so you never know who may be hiding their credentials. And thank you for inviting us to hear that with fresh ears, too, because a lot of us have heard that. How many of you have heard that Scripture at a wedding? Yeah. It's a beautiful passage, and it's actually a great starting place to learn about the Apostle Paul, who often gets a bum rap in progressive churches like ours. And it's also a great place to start understanding more about love. Even though Valentine's Day is less than 2 weeks away, I'm not going to be talking about eros today or erotic love this morning. I'm going to be talking about agape, or self-giving love, which is the variety of love that Paul writes about in this letter. I remember years ago, I had a conversation with a really good friend, Tora Lindstrom, who, as you might guess, is Swedish, and he was extolling the virtues of the English language and its fantastically large vocabulary. Swedish has a comparatively smaller vocabulary, and maybe one of the reasons is that English, you know, I mean, England was invaded by, well, let's see, the Romans, the Danes, the Jutes, the Norwegians, the Swedes, the Angles, the Saxons, and the Normans. And thanks to that, we have this incredibly rich language that we speak today. But the one thing that we don't describe very well in English, despite our wide vocabulary, is love. It's pretty limited, especially compared to Greek. Yes, we have attraction, we have attention, we have fondness. But they all sound a little vague and pasty compared to eros and philia, brotherly love, and agape that we get in Greek. So there are three different words for love in Greek. And for us, When we say love, it's also shaded by the canopy of the Romantic era, which sometimes leaves it a little soft and squishy and pale. That isn't agape. Agape is about going deeper. Agape is the kind of love you need if you are in Amsterdam in 1943 and you're hiding Jewish children in your attic. Agape is the kind of love you need if you are part of Christian peacemaker teams and you are putting yourself in a war zone. Agape is the kind of love you need when you are called upon to risk and sacrifice something in order to stand up for your faith. Agape is self-giving love in action. It's risky, it's costly, and it is not for the faint of heart. When John's gospel quotes Jesus as saying, "No one has greater love than this, but to lay down one's life for one's friends," he's talking about agape. He uses the Greek word agape, costly, self-sacrificial love. You know, you and I are seldom called upon to really step up and act from a sense of self-giving love for our faith. And we're unlikely to be imprisoned for what we do here at Plymouth. You never know, though. But that is still a reality in our world today for some Christians, like Pastor Jin Mingri, whose church in Beijing was bulldozed by the government late last year. The government that then sent him a bill, a demolition bill, for $179,000. Jin said, "Of course we're scared. We're in China. But we have Jesus." You know, at last week's congregational meeting, we were able to meet openly. We were able to elect a slate of folks who agreed to serve on boards and serve on the leadership council. We passed a budget, and there was no intrusion from the state. Now, at Plymouth, we may not use this language. We may not talk very much about loving Jesus. But even if we don't use that phrase, our love of God can drive us to do amazing things together, going deeper into our faith, getting out of our comfort zones, making offerings that are costly to us, and living out our faith boldly and with conviction. People like Bob and Nancy Sturtevant, who I embarrassed at the 9 o'clock service because they were here, who established a kindergarten in Ethiopia. And they just returned from Ethiopia last week. So after they retired, in quotes, they joined the Peace Corps and went to Ethiopia. And not only did they teach forestry and help with IT, they also established a kindergarten that Plymouth helped support. And you'll also see them giving their time. Bob's our past moderator, and Nancy's a deacon, and Bob's a sound guy, and Nancy's the interfaith council, one of our interfaith council reps, and more. That is what self-giving love, what self-sacrificial love looks like. And there are many other examples here at Plymouth. Glennon Doyle is a blogger. She has a blog called Momastery. Not Monastery, but Momastery. And she has a number one New York Times bestseller called Love Warrior. And she says this: "Life is hard because love is hard. And it's not because you're doing everything wrong. Often life is at its hardest when you are doing everything right." Earlier in 1 Corinthians, Paul writes, "Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up." How do you see love building up at home in your family? How do you see love building up in your workplace? How do you see love building up here at Plymouth? Offering our service, our time, our wealth, our compassion, ourselves to God and to one another is an act of self-giving love. Paul writes of all kinds of wonderful spiritual gifts: speaking in tongues, prophetic witness, knowledge, faith, hope, giving everything away. And he says that even if you have those gifts and graces, but if you don't have love, it's empty. Agape, as Paul describes it, is not always easy to put into practice. Maybe it's a variation on what we know as tough love. When we have to do uncomfortable things because we see a person, a loved one, bent on self-destruction. Families who do interventions with a member who has a substance abuse problem know what agape looks like. Tough love doesn't tolerate denial. It rejoices in the truth. Maybe agape in this sense blends love and courage. It takes a lot of love to tell someone things they'd rather not hear. My own family did that with my mom to help her acknowledge her alcoholism. It's seldom easy to speak the truth in love when you have something hard to say, because it's going to make people angry and upset. But it can be loving. You know, I think that as a congregation, maybe we've become a little complacent. Maybe we're a little bit fat and happy. And maybe there's nothing recently that seems to drive a sense of urgency here at Plymouth. When you walk into this facility, you see a really comfortable, well-maintained building. And so perhaps you assume that it's all good, that there's no financial need here, that everything is getting done. People seem generally happy and affluent, which is all good. And that's because we have some people who are volunteering a huge amount of time to keep this place running. People like our board of trustees. And it's also because we have people in this congregation who tithe and give sacrificially of their time and their money. But this, like, sort of super involved segment of the congregation is pulling more of their weight. And I'm hearing about it because I'm the senior minister, that a lot of folks who are pulling a lot of weight are getting really tired. And it's not sustainable. So if you missed the congregational meeting last Sunday, and maybe you didn't read the 2019 budget or the annual report in your email, you probably missed the sense of urgency. So twice last week, I got to tell members of our congregation and staff, I'm sorry, we can't do that this year because of budget cuts. To those of you who give generously, and I know so many of you do, both of your time and your money, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And to those who may have more time and more wealth to give, please consider this an encouragement, an invitation to step up with a sense of self-giving love. I also appreciate our congregation's understanding that freezing spending on all of our mission and programming costs is not a nefarious deed on the part of our budget and finance committee or of our leadership council. All of us together are the ones who decide what Plymouth's annual income will be. And we decide it by how we pledge. And to all of you who are giving so generously of time and talent and money, thank you deeply. Thank you deeply. An even bigger issue is that I think we need to live into God's love and God's abundance by recognizing that there's not scarcity in either case. Richard Rohr, who is a progressive Franciscan, writes, "The flow of grace and love through us is largely blocked when we're living inside a worldview of scarcity, a feeling that there's just not enough. Enough of God, enough of me, enough food, enough mercy to include and forgive all our faults." That's deep. There's actually enough grace to forgive me. So I'm inviting all of us at Plymouth to go deeper into our faith this year with a sense of agape. That might mean for you helping with faith family hospitality, or it might mean teaching Sunday school, or it might mean working at the reception desk in the church office. It might mean getting out with the trustees and helping out on spring cleanup day. And yeah, it means stretching when it comes to financial giving as well. I'd also like to invite you to please keep attending Plymouth and our worship frequently, and also invite friends who might need the gift of Plymouth, the gift of meaning. So why would we do this? Why would we go deeper? Why do we need to kick it up a notch? Is it because we don't want our church to stagnate? Yeah, maybe. Is it because there are people out there trudging through life and not finding much meaning in an endless cycle of work and entertainment and work and entertainment? Yeah, that's part of it too. Is it because somebody in this town has to stand up for LGBTQ rights and sensible gun laws and immigration reform and people who experience homelessness? Yep, sure. Those are all perfectly good reasons why we need to lean into our common life at Plymouth. But the dominant reason is that God calls us to live out our agape love for one another, for the world around us, and for God. You know, I wonder sometimes if we forget that that's why we're here in the first place. You know, in Deuteronomy, the heart of Jewish faith is expressed this way: "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your might." And then Jesus adds another: "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." That's agape. I hope that you hear what I'm saying as an expression of my love for God, for Plymouth, and for you. I love you all far too much to not say the things I'm saying. Love is both a noun and a verb in our language. And my prayer for Plymouth is that this year we go deeper and take action, making faith both a noun and a verb, to tie our faith together with a sense of God's love for us and for all those we call neighbors beyond the four walls of this place. May it be so. Amen.